Blue Colt Radio is powered by the Visual Performing and Media Arts Department at Middlesex County College in Edison, New Jersey. Media Insider is our podcast series with informative episodes about movies, music, pop culture, and sports. In this episode, BCR wants to celebrate our student-athletes at MCC as Mike Nichols from the Blue Colt Benchwarmers interviews one of our baseball players, Tyler Sharfetz. You'll learn about his passion for the game, most memorable moments as an athlete, and his future in sports. Now here's your host, Mike Nichols.
You're about to find out why Tyler Sharfetz is one of my favorite interviews. Forge, New Jersey native, played Little League in Forge growing up. We have a heck of a lot in common. I asked him, what inspired you? And this is what he told me.
The main thing that inspired me to play like Little League, seeing my older brother. He's about two and a half years older than me.
Okay.
And seeing him on the field having fun, I just want to be on there with him, honestly. And just doing the same thing he was doing. And my brother's been a real inspiration for me for playing and getting to the next level and being better. And he really drives me. And I don't say it enough, but like he really does push me to be better.
So your big brother's not only your inspiration, I guess, to start playing baseball, is he still your inspiration now when you're playing baseball?
100%, yeah. Not just in baseball, but even in the classroom too. Because I remember him and me weren't great students in high school, but seeing him transform a complete 180 to college, he has like 3.6 now GPA, and he's on the dean's list and everything like that. So seeing that, I want to be that as well. So not just on the field, but also in the classroom.
Did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, played baseball, played basketball, played a little bit of hockey.
Nice.
Kind of cut hockey a little bit short. I liked it, but it really didn't get as much drive out of it as I did with baseball and basketball. Basketball, I stopped my freshman year. Out there, I made the freshman team and played the whole season. I kind of just wanted to focus more on baseball, 100% on baseball.
Now, you said you stopped focusing on baseball your freshman year of high school. What high school did you attend?
JFK, so John F. Kennedy Memorial High School, yeah.
All right, and now that is a combination of a few different towns, correct?
Yeah, so it's about a little bit of Avenel, a little bit of Ford, and mostly Island. So probably about 25-50.
And that's the Greater Middlesex Conference, right?
Yep, GMC.
When you play baseball, you could play travel baseball. So as a kid, did you play travel baseball?
Yeah, so I actually kind of started a little late. I know nowadays kids are starting, honestly, at like 7 years old, which is crazy. I started probably around 13, almost 14, into real travel baseball. I played with like a couple of teams. I played with like Tri-State Arsenal, Zone, which is like 20 minutes down the road. Travel was a big part of my life. And honestly, playing travel really opened your eyes. And when you go down to like Georgia, where there's a big tournament down there, you kind of see where you place yourself as a baseball player, not just around Jersey. In Jersey, you could be great. Jersey, you could be good. But then you go down south and see all these other kids who are playing year-round, you're really brought back down to earth.
Now, were you able to pick up certain kind of different playing styles from kids down in Georgia or Florida around the country?
Yeah, just mostly the thing I look at is like other catchers. So like say we're at a game, and I would pay attention to mostly the catchers to see how they react to certain situations. Say like he threw down a second and he nails the guy like out by a mile and the second baseman missed his tag. I was younger, I kind of show some emotion, like kind of maybe throw my hands up, but they were just calm, cool, and collected. And that's something I kind of took away from that.
You played travel when you were younger. Even when you were in high school, did you play some sort of AAU ball, club ball?
Or yeah. Was so, it just high school? So in the springtime was mainly for high school season, but in the fall, you always have your travel team for fall ball, kind of get you ready for the spring season. So nothing crazy, stayed local, stayed in Jersey, maybe went to New York, maybe PA sometimes, but mostly stayed local, just to kind of get you ready, get you loose for the season to come up.
If I remember correctly, there was something called Legion Ball, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you still play Legion Ball in the summer?
No, that's mostly, since I'm out of high school now, it's mostly just for high schoolers or incoming high schoolers,
right?
Like eighth graders or seventh graders. The last time I played Legion was my seventh grade summer, so pretty much seventh grade going to eighth grade year, and that was the first and only time I played summer.
Now, for those who don't understand what Legion Ball may be, could you explain that for them?
So Legion Ball is mostly like really pretty much the kids going to your high school who you're going to be playing with for the next couple of years. The teammates I played with in Legion Ball that summer, I played with them 4 years of high school varsity. And, you know, we got together that 1 year and it was perfect. You know, we all clicked and it was just really good moving forward and a building step to become like a brotherhood for baseball.
You are currently a freshman,
yep,
at Middlesex County College. What's the biggest difference you've noticed between high school baseball and kind of college baseball?
The speed of the game. Speed of the game is a lot faster. A lot of guys are picking up things, you know, faster and, you know, faster than you are as well. So you have to kind of adjust to them, make quicker adjustments as well. Because if they see something that, you know, you're doing and you're doing wrong, they're going to take advantage of it and they're going to exploit it. You know, just the speed of game in general is the biggest thing compared to high school to college.
Now, how have you adapted to it? What adjustments have you made to your game to
Just trying to see from their perspective as well. Just trying to look on the outside, kind of see what I'm doing as well wrong, trying to make myself better. I know a goal that I'm set to and I want to do, and I want to try and achieve that as well.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's another difference in high school baseball into college baseball. High school baseball is 7 innings. College baseball is 9 innings.
Yeah, so region games during the week are 9 innings. When we have weekend games out of region, out of conference, it's the 2 7-inning games. So 14 innings in total, but, you know, since I'm a catcher, I usually get one game off, one game play. So.
Okay, so it's sort of like a doubleheader?
Exactly, yep.
Okay.
But, like, on Tuesdays and Thursdays when we play, 9-inning game, yeah.
Which would you prefer? Do you like the doubleheader, having two games in one day?
When I'm doing good, I'll take the 9-inning game.
Okay.
When I'm doing bad, I'll take the 7, because, you know, it's less time for me to do bad. But, no, it's a big difference, and I do like the 9-inning, you know, because you do, you know, see the pace of the game and how it changed and everything like that. 7 innings does feel short. When you do play a 9, and that's one thing that's pretty interesting when you do play a 9 compared to a 7. But what would I rather have? I'd probably definitely rather have the 9. I do like the 9. One game and you're done. That's it.
Now, you briefly said that you are a catcher,
mm-hmm.
correct?
And yep.
If I remember correctly, there was 3 other catchers on the roster.
Yeah.
Well, you are 1 of 3.
I am 1 of 3, yeah.
Yes. So,
shout out to the backstop game.
Now, when I was looking up some of your stats, I saw you had a 312 average at the time when I looked up. This was,
yeah, that definitely went down, yeah.
Don't put that in there. 393 OBP, that went down also?
Probably, yep.
Oh, man. Now, I want to know, what do you pride yourself most on? Are you an offensive catcher? Are you big in the hitting game? Are you going to be the guy in the 3-hole ready to knock in some runs? Or are you the – you set the pitches, you call a good game, you even when a ball is maybe a little outside, you frame it to bring it back in.
Yeah, I would probably say I'm more so of a defensive catcher. You know, I don't really have the build for, you know, a guy to hit 14 home runs in a season. I am tall, but I am a little skinny also, so I don't have that much power behind me. But I kind of pride myself on doing whatever I can to get my pitcher a win. That's what the great Johnny. I was watching an interview with Johnny Bench, and he said that's your main goal as a catcher, not to throw people out, not to frame pitches, but it's just to get your pitcher that win. And that's kind of what I try to pride myself on every game.
Do you see yourself as the catcher, as kind of the captain of the infield?
Of the infield, yeah, 100%. You see everything, so you got to direct everybody with everything on what's going on. You know, if a pitcher has his back turned, you got to tell him what's going on so he knows what to do right away.
Now, is there a certain pro that you model your game after, any type of catcher that you want to be like?
Yeah, like
Yadi Molina, maybe?
Yadi's one guy. Sanchez, because of his kind of an arm, but one guy I kind of modeled myself after is Gary Sanchez.
Now, hold on. If you're a defensive catcher, that's what you focus on.
Oh, I mean, I'm
on,
sorry, correct? Salvador Perez. I'm sorry, I meant to say. I'm sorry, Salvador Perez.
Okay, because I was going to say Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, he's not the best blocker. I meant to say, Salvador Perez. Though. Salvador Perez, the reason I kind of looked at him was when I was like 14, kind of had the same body type. He was tall, obviously, you know, a little bit more muscle, but like he was a taller catcher, and I'm kind of looking at myself as a taller catcher, and I want to look at someone out there I could like kind of model myself around, see what he's doing. If he's doing something one way, I want to try and mimic it that way, because if it's working for him, it might work for me.
Kansas City Royals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he's hurt right now, so.
Okay. So far, how has your experience at Middlesex College, County College, been? Has it lived up to your expectations, or kind of not been as great as you thought it'd be?
It's awesome here, actually. The teachers are great. You know, I wasn't really big into a big university, because I feel like you're just a number there. You know, you walk into one of these classrooms, and a lot of times these teachers know your name. I remember I walked past a teacher I had last semester, and he said, "Hey, Ty." I was like, "Oh, you remember my name? That's cool." You know, so I really do definitely feel like you get like, you know, a personal connection with each professor, and they're always willing to help you. So yeah, Middlesex is great baseball wise and academically wise.
What would you say to a high school baseball player that's contemplating between attending a 4-year university or maybe looking to go play JUCO ball or at a 2-year school like Middlesex County College? What would you have to say to them?
Go somewhere where you're going to play. You know, a lot of guys want to go to, you know, these big D1 schools or even Division II or even big time Division III schools, but they don't look at the pitcher that they're not going to play maybe until their junior year. They have a sophomore there that's batting .314 with 5 home runs, so, you know, Gold Glove at short, and he's not going to see the field until he's gone. You know, and they're always looking for more people to bring in. So maybe a person they bring after you could be even better than you. You know, so just go somewhere where you're going to play. That's the most important thing. That's the more important thing for anybody coming out of high school.
Do you have any favorite memories from playing baseball throughout your life?
Yeah, probably my favorite. I remember for high school, we always had to write down one of our favorite memories, and every year it'd be the same one for me because we would play on TV once a year.
Really?
Yeah. It was either against Colonia or Woodbridge. It was always like crosstown rival TV game. And they always like had, because they always like did commentation, and they would always ask me what's my favorite memory. Every year I put the same one. And my favorite one was probably when I was either 11 or 12. It was Little League. And it was like the world, like literally we had like the World Series. So it was like 3-game series and stuff like that. And it was on Father's Day. And my dad came to the game. And he was in the dugout. And I remember this back because this at bat because this is the only game they brought the announcement like the radio or the speakers and you know they announced your name and everything like that. And my brother was on the mic. He said, "Now batting number two, Tyler Sharp is number two." And I remember that. And the first pitch, I hit a home run. So I hit a home run on Father's Day for my dad. I remember him jumping up and down in the dugout. It was crazy. It was really fun though. But that's probably my best experience in baseball.
Now, what about your worst memory? Because I know that there's.
I have a lot of them.
I know just from playing sports growing up, I could tell you 10 baseball memories I regret. I could tell you 20 hockey memories I regret. So yeah. give me your worst one.
The worst memory. Oh, man.
I know you still see it in your nightmares.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we were in Georgia, and this was for a Tri-State Arsenal team. And I was 14 at the time, so I wasn't really the best all-around catcher at that time yet. I was like only 2 years catching, so I kind of started late with catching. I remember... We went to extras, bottom of the eighth, and this team named the Vipers. They were really good, out of Georgia. All these kids were like, at 14-year-olds, 6'3", at least 200 pounds. They were ginormous.
I never understood how that happened.
Oh, yeah, down south, they make them different down there. It's crazy. It's
weird.
Yeah, so like they're all big. I'm just looking all up at them. The way the game was going, I thought one of them was going to hit a bomb or something like that. But no, bases loaded. Like they got on like bunt singles, something like that. Pick off, balk, and all that kind of stuff. So bases were loaded, two outs. It was a 2-2 count.
I know where this is going.
You know where this is going, right? Curveball in the dirt. The whole game, I've been blocking every single pitch. Curveballs and dirt, everything. This one, I just don't get the glove down. Right through the 5-hole, they win the game. That's and then tough. In Georgia, we were 1 win away from going to the next round of the playoffs in Georgia, which there were like 400 teams down there. So now after all that, I felt even worse knowing that information. So that's probably one of my worst baseball memories. Like I put that game on me. I was like, no matter what anybody else did, no matter throughout any other errors on the throughout the game, that one right there summed it all up.
But I know none of your teammates blamed it on you.
Oh, no, 100%. But I blamed it on myself because that's the kind of guy I am, you know. But they were great. They had my back. They were like, dude, don't worry about it. We'll get the next ones. And then we won 4 in a row right after that. You know?
Now, you mentioned that you would have one game every year on TV.
Yeah, so...
what was that experience like? Was it nerve-wracking?
My sophomore year was the first time I did it. And it was a little nerve-wracking. I think we played Colonia. It was pretty cool. They came to our field. They put the stands up with the cameras on top, and it was just a pretty cool experience to see yourself play on a decent quality camera. And when you look back at it, it's kind of like a major league setup. They had this camera in the outfield, camera by third base, camera at first base. So it was pretty cool to kind of see yourself at that angle. It was interesting and different, and it's very 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 cool.
Now, going throughout life, you have numerous coaches.
Yeah.
For different sports. Mm-hmm. Is there a coach that has influenced you more than others? Or there could be a couple coaches. Do you have a favorite coach?
Yeah, I would say Coach Andrew Romanella. He's at FDU right now. He was my first...
Fairly Dickinson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was my first real travel coach. I remember, this was at Zoned, and he was new there too. And there was one game I just wanted to come in and just kind of hit, you know, have my dad come in and just throw some BP and just hit. And he came in, he was like, "Ty, you want me to throw to you?" I was like, "Yeah, sure, let's go." And he legit worked with me for like an hour just trying to make me hit opposite field and work with stuff. And ever since then, he's always been having my back. And that's one coach I could always go to and always say he's had my back ever since I was like 13, 14 years old.
Now, is there a certain coaching style that you prefer more than others? Because some people react more to getting screamed at. Some people react more to getting, you know, the arm put around their shoulder, telling them, you know, constructive criticism.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of the sandwich technique.
No, yeah, I definitely hear you. I could do both, honestly. You know, I could take the yelling and screaming, you know, to a certain extent. Obviously, you know, there's some coaches that are out there that kind of go above and beyond.
Right.
You know, that that need to calm down.
Have you ever had one of those coaches?
100%, yeah. Okay. 100%. There's one time I was throwing from my knees, like just back to the pitcher. And we won the game by a lot, and it didn't even matter at that point. There was a guy on third. I remember the coach just high-fived me, and he's like, "If you ever do that again, I'll kill you." I was like, "Woof." And then there was a completely different coach that I remember got picked off a third, embarrassing for me. I went to the dugout. Coach came up to me, put his arm right around me. He's like, "Man, listen, this is what you gotta do next time. And that was it. And then I've never gotten picked off at third again. You know, but just though I respond to both. I could take both. Which one do I react better to? I really don't know. I react good to both. I don't know.
Versatile person. What's your personal goal for the rest of the year?
Personal? Try to get back to that 300 mark batting average. I know you mentioned I was 312. Yeah, but I definitely went down. I think I'm at like 287 right now. But just trying to get back to that that 300 mark as a hitter, because I remember in high school I was never the best hitter. I was always in that 200s. I could never reach past that 300. So for being a first year in college and maybe getting up to that 300 mark would be great. It was all the time I worked off the tee, and just how many swings I've taken in the batting cage really mean a lot if I can get to that 300 mark.
Now, what's your team goal?
Team goal? To win right now, just to win the first round of the playoffs, to beat Gloucester.
Now,
that's the first goal.
When does the first round start?
May 11th. May 11th, I think, is first game against Gloucester.
And you said you guys have lost to Gloucester previously this season, so it should turn out to be a good game.
We have lost them twice, but
and they're a higher seed than you?
They are a higher seed, yeah. They are. We lost them twice, but honestly, I don't think we've given I think we have a lot more to give to them. I definitely think they're going to underestimate us in the first round. I think that's going to be their mistake.
Now, is it a one-game playoff?
Three-game series.
Yep. Okay.
Three-game series. Okay. So even if we do lose that first one, we still got two to bounce back.
Right.
And our team is definitely capable of bouncing right back after one loss.
Now, what are your plans after Middlesex County College?
I definitely want to, you know, play at the next level. You know, even if it's Division I, Division II, Division III, you know, that doesn't matter to me. Just being able to say, you know, I played a four-year, you know, because I want to. I want to. And just being able to say I played at a four-year competitive baseball for two extra years of my life is something that not everybody else can say and do. You know, so I really want to do that. I really want to really work towards that. But right now, I just want to focus on just this year and then the next one for Middlesex.
If you had to explain Middlesex County College Baseball, if you had to think of one word, what is Middlesex County College Baseball?
Oh, man, there's a lot of things. Just in one word, I think brotherhood. I think we all kind of come together. I remember the first day, we were all kind of hesitant, kind of not really talking to each other the first day of, like, practice/tryouts. We're all hesitant, really didn't want to speak to each other that much yet. But then it's a complete 180 from then till now, because we all hang out after school, all go to each other's house and stuff like that. It really has become a brotherhood. And that's one thing I really, really do like about Middlesex and the atmosphere they bring, because I'm even at my high school, you know, we saw each other in classes. Sometimes we wouldn't even act like that, you know. So it's pretty cool to, you know, to be able to go to each other's houses at a school where people are commuting from, like, Bayonne,
yeah,
to, you know, to, like, people from here in Woodbridge. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that actually leads into my next question. Do you guys have, like, you guys said you have that great team bond. Do you have, like, players only meetings? Do you have players only workouts? Could you guys as players run your own practice and not need the coach there? Are you that close-knit?
Well, we did it in the beginning, even the beginning of the season, when we weren't even that close-knit as we were now. We did have one players meeting, and I think that summed it up for the rest of the year. We didn't need another one. But yeah, we can go in the cage, like, take five of us. We can go in the cage 5 o'clock tonight if we don't have practice and go hit if we needed to. You know, coach is always there for us. He said, hey, I live right down the road. Call me, I'll unlock doors, put the screen down, and we can hit. You know, so we are that tight knit where we can just go and hit and stuff like that. Yeah.
Is that a reflection of your coach also?
Yeah. Coach Mooney really does really tried to get us together, especially when we went down to Myrtle Beach, our trip. I think that definitely helped us out. And I think he put everybody in a room where because there were some guys that were kind of a clique, some guys that weren't, you know, so I think he did a good job of putting guys in rooms where you weren't too familiar, but then ended up bonding and made just a better bond.
Right now, your Myrtle Beach trip, that's usually like your
kind of spring training. Kind of spring training kind of type thing, you know. Just go somewhere where it's nice and warm and just kind of play ball.
I have a few kind of like fun questions to end it off. Now, first, I know when we were speaking earlier, you said you work at Monkey Sports.
Yeah.
Now, I'll go by hockey. Mm-hmm. I needed the same company for my gloves had to be Bauer. My stick had to be Easton. My skates had to be
I know back. You're going with this, yeah.
Are you strict on your gear? Do you need Rawlings gloves at all times? Do you need a TPS bat at all times?
Right. Well, I'm big on catcher's gear, and the only catcher's gear I've had and that I've loved and I really don't want to get rid of is my All-Star gear. All-Star gear, I personally love. I sound like an endorser when I work at Monkey Sports and I'm telling people about All-Star gear. You know, they feel like I work for All-Star because I'm just preaching it. But that's just how I feel about it. But on the other hand, like with gloves, I'm 50-50 with two brands, All-Star gloves and Rawlings gloves. Rawlings was my first brand of gloves that I used, and I've loved them ever since. And then I just recently tried All-Star, and I like them too. But like those two brands, Rawlings and All-Star, are probably the two I really like the most for catching and
right. Catching
wise. But bat wise, Rawlings. I don't want to swing with any other bat besides a Rawlings.
Calf pads or no calf pads?
No calf pads.
No calf
no
pads.
No calf pads.
It's a real man right there. Mets or Yankees?
Big Mets fan.
Let's get it.
Big Mets Let's fan.
Let's go.
Big Mets fan. How, big win last night. Pierre Alonso, first RBI, walk-off RBI.
How is the confidence meter doing? Very pessimistic fan.
Yeah, for me right now, they're 1-1 against the Reds. You know, I think they should be 2-0. Confidence isn't really up to par with their bullpen, especially with their pitching just in general, their bullpen and their starting pitching.
Worst ERA. The Grom's
not where he should be. I don't know if he's hurt. Syndergaard is not really where he should be. Wheeler can't really pitch at home. He's on the road, he's great, but at home, he just can't find the strike zone. And Mats is the really only one holding it really down. And Vargas, too, he did a pretty good job last night. But Mats is the really only young pitcher that's really holding it down for the Mets. Right.
In my opinion, there are two baseball movies, kind of like cult classics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Sandlot and it's Field of Dreams.
That's a good one.
You got to pick one. You're on an island.
I got to pick one?
You're on an island. There's a baseball field on the island.
There's a baseball field on the island.
There's a baseball field on the island. You have food. You have all that stuff. But you only have one movie.
One movie. Out of those two?
Out of those two.
Out of those two baseball movies. Oh, man.
And if you have a different baseball movie that, you know, you happen to like more than those, feel free to throw
I in. Can say that one? All right. Because, like, you say those two are your favorite. Well, my two favorite are League of Their Own and The Natural. Those two are my favorite. Those two were the first, also because they're great movies, but also because they're the first two movies I watched from my, baseball movies I watched from my dad.
Right. League of Their Own is about the professional women's baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
League
during World War II. Yep. And then The Natural is about a young man who is like the next like Mike Trout, like obviously that generation, or Babe Ruth, as they kind of say it. And he gets shot. And then like 10 years down the road, when he's kind of like almost would be retired, he has a breakout season. It's just a really cool story and aspect of like, you know, the like bribing in sports at that time and all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool. But between those two, I would probably have to say The Natural. For me.
Okay.
But between your two, I'll probably say Sandlot. Sandlot is the movie I could watch time and time again.
Oh, yeah. And got to run from the Beast.
The Beast, yeah. The PF Flyers. You seen they actually made cleats of that?
Really?
They made actual like molded cleats of like the PF Flyers.
That Benny wore.
The Benny the Jet Rodriguez wore. Yep, at the end. Yep.
All right. Now, the big thing in baseball right now is analytics.
Yeah, man.
A big part of analytics is Moneyball.
Yeah.
Do you like that movie?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, the first time I saw it, I had to watch it the second time to kind of understand it, because when it came out, I was probably like, 13 or something like that. So I didn't understand it the first time, but the second time watching it, I was like, oh wow, this actually kind of makes sense. I see what they're kind of doing, but do I like it like in baseball today?
Right, that was my next question. Exactly, analytics or the eye test?
I'm not a big fan of analytics. I'm not the biggest fan of launch angle. I'm not the biggest fan, or even the shift too.
I'm not the biggest fan
of the opener.
Can't stand the shift.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of the opener. You know, I'm kind of like traditional old style baseball. Play small ball if you need to.
You're
all that
McNeil.
Kind of stuff. Love that guy.
Yep.
Love that guy. Plays hard. Plays aggressive. You know, I feel like he kind of reminds me of a Dustin Pedroia, short, scrappy kind of player. Does whatever he can to get on base and help the team win.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the launch angle that you're talking about on the swing, I believe it adds to just more strikeouts in general, more pop-ups, right?
100%, yeah. You definitely look at when launch angle was taking effect and kind of looked at it as a legit statistic. Strikeouts have gone up since then. You know, I think that the problem with baseball is the fan base has definitely lost interest on watching 3.5-hour games. I don't care. I personally love it. That's the beauty of the game. That's
right.
What I love about it.
I think it's also awesome that you could watch a game and you could go to the bathroom, come back to the game, and not miss that much.
Yeah. or wait in the food lines. It takes like an hour to get you food. But yeah, like I'm not the biggest fan of all that stuff. And I can. That's the beauty of the game, though, for me to watch a 3-hour baseball game and watch. You know, and sometimes it comes to the ninth inning. You spend 3.5 hours watching this game, and it can come down to just one pitch. You know, that's the beauty of it. That's what I really like.
There's going to be rule changes coming up within the next few years.
Yeah, I heard about all those.
MLB.
Yeah.
Are you a universal DH guy? Are you a regular standard? Keep it how it is.
Since I'm a Mets fan, you know, the NL, I do, I mean, it makes sense. Like, don't get me wrong, it does make sense to have a universal DH, But I love when pitchers rake.
I love this guy.
I love when pitchers, when you have a pitcher like Bumgarner or Ooh. Matt or even Thor hits the ball good sometimes. Even DeGrom, because he was a shortstop coming up.
Right.
You know, it's fun. It gets, dude, Bartolo Colon. Tell me that wasn't one of the single most greatest baseball moments of all time.
That is the best baseball moment of all time.
And Bartolo Colon hit a home run.
That passes Randy Johnson's 3 home runs in one game. Reggie Jackson, I'm sorry. That passes any no-hitter, any perfect game.
Yeah.
Bartolo Colon hit a home run. That's it.
But that's I personally like it. It does make sense, though, the universal DH. I understand it. But I personally like seeing a pitcher. And especially seeing a pitcher, like, actually take some hacks. Like Castillo last night, he had 2 strikes and he still tried to bunt. He fouled and he got out. I don't want to see just the bunting aspect, because you're used to that. Used to how many years of pitchers just straight up bunting. Let them swing away. Let them try and do something.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. But what would you say to the people that are like, oh, well, the pitchers are an automatic out?
No, that's a very compelling point. It's a very hard point to kind of go against, because you see all the pitchers' batting averages low 100s, not even hit the 100 mark. You know, so that's understandable to argue. But I just kind of look at it as just swing away, and if something good happens, great, it's awesome. You know, there's some more excitement. Now you got the top of your order up with your pitcher on, running the bases. You know, so I like it. It's pretty cool. It's interesting.
Now something that
adds another skill. Skill set to the pitchers, you know.
Definitely, I think that's why Shohei Ohtani is actually very, very versatile, very, very valuable.
I can't wait for him to come back.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Are you a superstitious guy?
Very,
very,
very. Yeah,
I love this guy. What are some of your superstitions?
When I'm out at the plate, I have to at the end of my bat, I have to touch outside corner, inside corner. These little bracelets I have on, they have to be on the outside of my batting glove. They can't be on the inside. Or they have to be hanging out on the outside because there's a little hole where they can hang out. They have to be there. If they're not there, then I legit have to get out of the box and redo my gloves. This one's weird. Right cleat, double knotted. Left cleat, just solo tied. Regularly tied. If I put a sleeve on this arm, I have to have nothing on this arm. But if I tape this arm, my right arm, I have to put tape on this one. So just some weird stuff that I do. I do most things twice. So if I adjust my helmet, I'll do it again on purpose just because I feel like things are better in 2. I don't know. It's just that I'm very, very superstitious. I think that's mostly a baseball player thing, though.
No, not only baseball
player. Hockey?
Big, yeah. So for me, you know how you have a left skate, right skate? Yeah. I'd always put on my left pad before I put on my right pad.
Okay, yeah.
Put on my left shin guard before my right shin guard. Before the game, I would have to tape my stick, but then before I wouldn't let it touch the ground before the ice.
So the first thing the stick was touching was the ice.
Right.
Okay. That's
so
pretty cool.
I would flip it so it would be on the butt end would be on the ground.
Like you're walking.
The blade would be sticking up. The first thing it would touch would be the ice. That's crazy. I don't know. But
they don't work, but they just make you feel better.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, I'm not batting 1,000, so obviously this doesn't work, but it just makes me feel more comfortable and better. You know.
Do you have any kind of story as to why those are your superstitions, or
I think
it just happened? Because with me, it just happened. I just did it, and I was kind of, once I did it one time, I'm like, oh, wow, I can't change it.
Yeah, I think with the 2 thing, like with doing things in 2, I remember I took my helmet off one time and then put it back on. Then, like, I did it again. I forget for what reason. I think because maybe my hair was in my way. And then I did it again. The next pitch, a kid stole, and I got him out. I was like, oh, I did that twice. Maybe that works. And then with this, I think I went, like, 3 for 4 one game in high school, and I was like, well, we're gonna keep doing that. So that's kind of a thing. The sleeve and the tape, the wrist tape, that came out of nowhere. I don't know where that came from. But the shoelaces thing, where one's double knotted and one's single knotted, my right foot's laces are a lot longer than my left one. So that's why I do it. Even with my shoes, though, now, like, I'll still do a double knot, even if they're the same length lace. But it's just a weird thing that kind of started.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Is there anything you would want to say to a young baseball player listening to this interview? Any advice you would give him about, you know, just growing, becoming a better baseball player, becoming a better person, and what they could potentially do to be successful in the future?
Yeah, my biggest thing is work hard every day, because I remember my brother, you know, he, like I said, he's a big inspiration for me playing baseball and me doing good and everything else. He would always want to go to the field every single day. And a lot of times I'd be like, bro, come on, man, I'm tired. But like that drive and that's what gets you better. And that's why he's at a 4-year school playing right now, doing really well, Mount St. Vincent. I would just try to say, you know, focus on what you love. you know, and if, you know, you're doing good in that, keep riding it, you know.
And one last thing, what would you have to say to the parent that wants to keep his kid in one sport and focus on that one sport? Because you played many sports growing up.
Yeah. To that parent, I would definitely say, like, you know, get him some the versatility, you know, because with sports, you know, you're definitely working basketball, you're working your legs more so than anything else. So, you know, I remember that freshman year after basketball, we had a practice down, I forget where, like an hour away. And one of the parents was my father, like, wow, Tyler looks a lot faster, you know, from playing basketball. I didn't even notice it, but I got faster, you know. So working, definitely trying to play different sports, working different muscles, getting stronger in different areas than you would just in one sport is huge. Trout was a 4-year varsity letterman on 3 sports, basketball, football, and baseball.
Yeah, look at Kyler Murray, you know, football.
Look at Kyler Murray.
First ever first round pick in football and baseball.
Exactly. So just trying to be the versatile in everything, you know.
Great.
One thing that I forgot to mention, though, I do bowl, actually. I bowled when I was younger. I bowled till I was, like, probably 12. And then my brother, I kind of followed a lot what my brother did, and, you know, because I saw he did, and he was having fun with that, I wanted to do what he did. Once he stopped bowling, I kind of stopped bowling, because, you know, he was my partner, and we kind of did everything together. And once he was gone, I was like, oh, I really don't want to do this. I don't want to lose my brother with this thing. So, but yeah, bowling was another thing I did, other than just basketball, hockey, and baseball.
Yeah. Tyler, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Media Insider is a Blue Colt Radio production. Student interviewer and guest were Mike Nichols and Tyler Sharfetz. The views, information, or opinions expressed in this episode of Media Insider are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Middlesex County College. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial, and educational use only. Subscribe to our upcoming podcast by logging on to BlueColtRadio.com and clicking the purple podcast icon. Media Insider is a Blue Colt Radio production.